All right, I'm a bit nervous about this episode of the podcast. I'm Mario Lopez. Last week, we had my buddy Stephanie Ziv on. She's a certified life coach with pretty amazing story. She gave up a really successful career as a TV executive to become a life coach to some pretty important people. Anyway, in the last conversation, we talked about having her back to coach me. So I've never done this before, and here we go. Stephanie Ziv, welcome back.
Thank you. Are you ready for me?
I'm always ready for you.
You are.
You were on this last week. I thought we broke down a lot of stuff, but I was left wanting more. And I want to be selfish today because I want to go through the motions of what an actual life coach session would be like. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'd love it.
So I'm would I be your pupil, your patient? What would I be? No, you're not a doctor, but you got letters behind your name.
You'd be my pupil. No, you are my client.
Client. Yes. There you go. It's not a patient, not a pupil, but a client.
Yeah, client.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm your client. We're sitting down here. This is my first life coach session. Hit me. What do we got?
Here's how I start. What do you want to be coached on today?
So specifically, I can't just be general about it. What do I want to be coached on today?
Yeah. If you're if you're my client and you're coming to me because there's something going on in your life that you want some clarity around.
Right.
Or you want to improve or you want to get rid of your guilt or whatever it is that is coming up for you. People usually come in because there's something that they're dealing with and they want some support around. It's like, why would you go to the gym? We talked about also.
Okay. Got it. Right? Understood.
So if there is something going on. Yeah.
This is what I want to be coached.
Yeah.
It's layered. How I can manage my time a little better and not put so much pressure on myself and feel like I'm giving my family leftovers and realize that I am getting older and I can't treat my body like I'm 25 anymore.
Yeah. How do you deal with your mortality?
All that. Yeah. Dealing with mortality. I'm not good at that. Because I still have like a lot of energy like a kid.
I know, but I don't think it means you have to get rid of that. It's just that you get to harness it, right?
Yeah,
You've been harnessing it for your whole life in a doing way.
Well, I have to channel it.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, when I was younger, it used to get me into trouble. And even as an adult, I think it might get me into trouble. So I got to stay busy to stay out of trouble. That was my mom's whole philosophy with me.
Right.
Especially in my neighborhood. So she kept me busy and put me in a bunch of different things. That's why I could do a bunch of different kind of stuff.
Right.
Because to keep me out of trouble. And it worked because I didn't have time to get into trouble. And same thing as an adult. I'm still very hyper and energetic, but I feel like I got to, but I feel like I'm burning the candle out of both ends too. So, it's harder to recover. You get older. I used to be able to party, drink, this and that, get up the next day, work out, this and that. Now, one good partying night.
And you're done.
I'm done for like 3 days.
Well,
and I need to recover.
What's the vision that you would have? Like as you have known one thing for a long time, right? You've known this channeling in all these outlets, keeping yourself busy, which we talked about last week also was in some way keeping yourself present, but also, when you're constantly in the doing mode, you're just not here now.
You know why I'm constantly in the doing mode? Because I'm scared.
Of?
Failing and not doing well.
And what happens if you would fail?
I'll feel like a loser.
And what if you feel like a loser?
Well, I can't. If you're alone in a loser, that's one thing. But you can't be a loser with a family because then you have a whole team that's losing. That was my fear as a single man. And now as a family, it's gone next level. Maybe that's why I've taken on more.
So it's you're driven.
But I'm being serious. I'm not even trying to be funny. I've been scared to not work, not be able to provide and make a living. And even by myself though, I was, provide for myself. It was just a scary thing. I think I get motivated by fear of like not doing or failing or being able to here's one thing. When you grow up without money, you have two things when you start to make a little bit ways of thinking. I think one, you start getting real flossy, as the kids call it. You start to kind of, you show it off. You're a little bit more show up. Or you do what like I do and you think it's going to go away in any second. Or it's someone's going to take it from you. And you're always saving for a rainy day. And I always just think like that rainy day is right around the corner. And I have that. I mean, I don't know if that maybe keeps me hungry, which is a good thing, or it's like a constant stress and pressure.
Well, what do you think?
Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You've been driven by fear, which is, they say, fear is false evidence appearing real, right?
Huh.
Which is also to say that there's been nothing that had, except there's, you have a past that inspired you, we'll say, you know, because of the way you grew up, it filtered into your relationship to money and how you operate and what you think you need and then what you're fearful of if, God forbid, that doesn't come to fruition.
And I never went to school. I mean, like college, I went to high school and all that, but I never went to college. And I, you know, you grew up thinking I was going to make money to pay for college because I know it'd be tough on my parents. And so, you know, and I got to that point and then I kind of kept, I was fortunate enough to keep working. So I never went back. And that was always like a little guilt. I was like, I don't know why, you just grew up thinking you got to go, right?
Yeah.
And then I didn't go. So there's a certain level of guilt and not like I could choose another career right now, 'cause I don't know what I do.
That guilt thing we have to also navigate.
I got a lot of guilt. And so, you know, I put a lot of, so that's my issue. I think I put a lot of pressure on myself. I feel guilty and I'm scared.
Yeah. Fear, guilt, pressure.
Yes.
Right? Which is, let me just say, what normal humans go through, right? So welcome.
Thank you.
You're a normal human. That's right. So exciting. But
I felt like that since I was young.
I know.
Isn't that weird?
No, it's not weird. I think that, you know, that's where this stuff begins. You know, the way I think about this, I just want to bring up this way to use as this tool that we can sort of talk about in the context of all this. So if you think about a big dining room table where in a normal situation like Thanksgiving would be your family and friends sitting around it. But instead of it being family and friends, let's have it so that it's all of the parts of you sitting around the table, right? So we have fear and guilt and pressure, but we also have the driver, we have husband, we have host, we have loyal, we have kindness. What else would you say?
Father, son.
But also qualities, right, like right, what right. are the qualities? We have disciplined.
I think discipline, focus.
So here's the thing. If you look at that table and there's all these parts of you and there's a million more that we can name, but the question is always, what part of you is sitting at the head of the table, right? So if guilt or fear or pressure are sitting at the head of the table and running your show, essentially, then that's going to infuse that energy into whatever it is that you're doing and then create results from there.
I think it is sitting at the head, but I think it kind of drives all those
It does.
Things.
It does. But at the same time, it's also depleting you in some way, right?
Yeah.
You can't relax. It gets in the way of actually being present with your family. You think you're giving them leftovers, right?
Uh-huh.
So what would be a better part of you to sit at the head of the table when you are still being driven? But what if you're driven by, you know, I mean, the other parts of you that are at the table, let's say, are love and joy and fun and strength and fierceness.
You know what I think it is, or I feel like it is? I think because of the unpredictable nature of our business and the not knowing causes a lot of that. And since, you know, dealing with that since I was 10 years old.
Right.
Causes a lot of that insecurity. So, and that's always the case. Like, it's if I had a regular gig where it was sort of constant and stable and you know what's happening, and I'm working towards this 401k and I got the... Fine, I'd probably chill out a lot more. But because of the unknown... The unknown is scary, even though I feel very blessed to have been doing it. But I also know that it could end like that. So I don't take it for granted. And I think I got to keep up the intensity or else, you know, it's kind of like when you're working out, you got to keep up. And as you get older, you got to even work harder or else you're gonna get fat quicker.
All right, let me ask you this though.
Does that make sense?
It does. And where does your faith come into this? Or
that's a good question. I think that helps me.
And what? How?
Because it would be worse without it.
Well, it would be worse without it. Your faith also, though, there's guilt that you have around that too. So that's some of the pressure in some way. But my question is really,
that's how I come at peace. I sort of want to let go and let God.
Right.
And I pray about it. And I let, you know, I work hard. My whole mantra is like, I'll work hard. I'll stay focused. And I'll do the right thing. And I hope the right thing happens for me and for my family. That's my whole thing. You know, after that, that's all you can do is your best, right?
Right.
So then I let go and leave it in God's plan as meant to be.
And
so that's
how
I, that's
how go?
I,
What is Latino?
Not maybe
look
truly,
like?
Because clearly I wouldn't be so scared still.
So what does that look like? I mean, think about
it. At least I tell
it.
Myself, and I think it helps. I don't think it alleviates everything, but it kind of helps.
I think that what you're describing, though, is also like even people who have the 401k and what looks like the secure job, anyone, you know, anyone who has a job, nothing is ever really secure. We don't really know how or why things work, right? Yeah. If we sat and worried about the how of it all, we would be here forever and never understand it. How did it come to be that at this time and on this planet in this way, the two of us are sitting here? It doesn't really matter, right?
Right.
The point is that if you know what you want,
right,
and you know why you want it, then you can start to take action, which is the antidote to fear oftentimes, and also be open to the outcome. So I think what I'm hearing from you a little bit is part of the pressure and the guilt and the stress comes from being attached to the outcome. And that means that you're kind of holding holding strongly to something, even though there are moments where you can let go and let God and surrender. This fear is having you hold on to something for dear life because you think it's going to go away,
right,
versus holding with a loose fist where there's other opportunities that can come in and out. When you're not holding on so tightly, then there's just more flexibility and nuance and space to create and transform and evolve, right?
I also feel though the reason why I hold on so tightly is because once I start to loosen up, I'll get lazy and then I'll keep my eye off the ball. And
is that true? Do you really think that?
No, I don't want to risk that.
You don't want to risk that, but that's a story. Look, there's
something. You know what I mean though?
I know what you mean, but I think that right now you have to be you get to observe without judgment these stories that you're telling yourself, mm-hmm, because you.
And I'm getting older.
Right.
And we're in a youth obsessed business.
But there's this.
Right.
Right. But you really don't look like you have age at all.
Well, that's very nice, but still. But nevertheless, but
maybe
that's another thing that goes into
elixir,
your mind.
Elixir, my friend.
Right, right. Yeah. No, God, and I smoke and drink, and so I don't know what it is. I'm just lucky. But so all that, you know.
But even kinda, that story.
I just want, you know what I want? I want a moment, just a relax.
Okay.
And I just want to kind of live in that space for a little bit.
I think that's what we get
I'll have
to
flashes
work
of
on.
It, but I don't live there. I like maybe visit it for like
Do
a half
you?
Second. Yeah.
When?
You know,
for only a half second?
You know, for like a minute. Maybe we're on vacation and chilling for a hot second. I'll take a second. And then I feel guilty when I'm on vacation. Like, okay, this is too long. I can't. I've already chilled out too much. You know all what I right, mean?
So
after like 2 days, I'm like, all right.
We have to talk about this guilt because that guilt is keeping you from your joy.
Yeah, I'm happy. As like I said, I'm a happy
You're happy, but it's
person.
Keeping you right, but it's the guilt is not allowing you to be the fullness of your presence. It's not fully allowing you to be either fill your tank, right, in a way that is filled with even just that breath, that calmness, that meditative moment, that relaxing, that experiencing. I know you are very grateful and you feel blessed and you don't take anything for granted, and I really know that about you.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I think that your opportunity is to really get deeply present to every moment and not be worried, stressed, or guilty about the moments to come. Right.
I'm always planning. You're right.
You're
I'm always,
always
planning.
Planning.
The next day. If I could, I would plan the next year already. I'd have every week. I want to know what I'm doing. I like the structure. I want to work around it. I would plan, you know, every day. I always got like a bunch of stuff. I don't know what I'm doing. I'll come and I'll just kind of boom, boom, boom,
do
and just hit it.
Do you plan the year? Do you
well,
think
as much
about,
as I can.
Okay, let me ask you this. What would it be like if we were to sit here right now? So whatever day this is, right? It doesn't matter. Let's just think about the day. Let's think about the end of 2019.
Okay.
What if you were to map out that year just in terms of a vision that you have, what happened? What are you celebrating that happened over this year?
Celebrating, hopefully some things that are in the works that officially come to fruition,
mm-hmm,
on many different levels on
yep.
that. You know, my family being healthy and us all together and mom and dad, everybody okay. And then I think I needed like another a year or two of just kind of hustling. And then I could finally do the,
I think the opportunity is to find that breath now.
Yeah.
And to not wait until something happens. I think that our biggest issue is I will, you know, when this happens, then I will. Right.
That's an issue.
It is an issue. That goes to the have, do, be, right? I was talking about that. If we operate often from a place of, if I have the thing, if I have money in the bank, if I have the job, if I have the deal that closed, if I have the relationship, if I have the health, whatever, then I can do whatever it is that I want to do that it, as it relates to that having mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And then I will be
happy, at peace, a little more chilled out. Right.
Exactly. So the opportunity is switch from have, do, be to be, do, have. So now you bring, who am I being? If I want to be peace, I'm going to be peace now. And then I'm going to infuse that into what I am doing. And then I will have a different result. Hmm. You are frenetically creating all the time. And that's what's expanding in your life. You're not feeling the peace. You're not feeling the breath. You're not feeling the expansiveness because you are constricting with the fear and the guilt and time. Your relationship to time and your relationship to abundance is actually constricted in some way. Mm-hmm. And I would even say that you're not even generating or creating as much as you can with less effort. Mm. You know,
So what do I do?
Well, I think it is about it's about really kind of getting into that feeling that you want to create, right? So part of do you have an experience where you really did feel peace? Where mm-hmm. you like, is it something you're willing to share?
Like a certain moment?
Yeah.
When I really feel, you know, when I'm having a drink and have a nice cigar and I'm sitting down and just kind of being still, listening to some good music, I feel peace there.
And are you really present and not really, you're not feeling guilty?
Yes.
Okay. For what? Like 32 seconds?
No, for that amount of time. Okay. I'm there, an hour or two. Whatever.
All right. So that's kind of what I would call the bottle that moment. You know, that's kind of the touch point or the access.
I think the bottle is what helps that moment.
Exactly. Okay. Whatever it takes, my friend. But really, it's like if you can think about a moment that brings you the peace that you want to feel and feel into that now. So it's almost like operating from an already having received place. If you already received everything that you want, how would you feel? So if that is peaceful, then what would it be like to be that person who's walking through life feeling the peace? So part of this is like in terms of what do I do? It is a practice. It does become a conscious,
does meditation
mindful,
help that?
Yes. Yes.
Meditation helps that be can't, I got to write that
be
down.
Do have.
Be do have.
Be do have.
Be do have.
Because again, you know, it's like, it's even like you go back to those stories about the people who win the lotteries, right? Mm-hmm. And there's all these tragic stories about, well, they have more than they could ever need or want, right?
Right.
And yet in many cases, they're not rooted in the why that they wanted that, or it was greed based or ego based or whatever it was, then destruction ends up happening, you know? Mm. So it makes a lot of sense to bring a high level of consciousness into the action that you're taking so that you're creating the results that you want. If you are interested in having a better time management and to bring more peace into your life and to be more present,
right?
One thing I think for sure that would be fascinating for you to try is meditation.
Right.
And there's two apps I would recommend. One's called Headspace.
Okay.
And the other one's called Calm.
Okay.
Both are, you know,
both
the
I
same
need.
But different. And you can see, but you can start, it starts off with like a minute.
Yeah.
Or and there's another great app that I love called Happy Not Perfect.
Okay.
That's wonderful. Yeah. These are all simple little moments that allow, because I think Happy Not Perfect also allows you to kind of check in with yourself about where you are emotionally and then write it out and then burn it and then do a little meditation. And it's very simple.
I like
but
that.
It's
See, I
great.
Just, I like structure. So if I just have a little bit, a little structure and I need a routine.
All of those apps will provide you structure and that will help you to understand what the meditation is and it'll walk you through it. They're guided.
Okay, good.
And that'll be a good start.
You recommend morning meditation or evening meditation?
Both and. But if you're starting, I would start in the morning.
Really?
It can be 2 minutes.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a Buddhist monk and go to the mountains and, you know, ohm it out, you know? So it's about making it really accessible.
Okay.
But I do believe, and I would be fascinated to follow up with you and see what happens, that if you start to meditate, what is the experience you have with time?
Right.
You know?
Are you a big fan of writing things down and having like a visual?
Oh my God, yes. Okay. I mean, I have a great little story about my own. I have all my clients write out a day in their extraordinary life 10 years from now.
Because I should write down my be do have.
Did you? Well, but have you ever written out your vision? What is your vision? What's your big vision?
What do you mean my entire life? How,
like,
I see my life?
Like, if you were to write a day in your awesome life 10 years from now, what is happening on that day?
On that day, I would be showing up to work for a job I love and maybe doing a couple other things and working with my friends and family, because I like having the people I like around me.
Yeah.
And my kids would be involved in a bunch of great activities I'd get to go see after and on the weekends. Maybe we'd have another one. I'd be able to create some opportunities for other people and friends and family. Because when I'm having a good time, I want everybody to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I want everybody to win. So, and that makes me happy.
Yeah.
So, because that's why I like being a host, because I like genuinely hosting people. Just entertaining them, making sure they're happy, making sure they're having a good time. So, and I'd like to, probably a little bit more financial stability. So I have that big ha moment just okay. as a general. So in 10 yep. years from now, hopefully if I'm blessed enough to stay busy, that I think, time-wise would be fine.
Because
look,
say-
in 5 years, I'm going to be 50. So I can't believe I said that out loud. But by the time I'm 50, I should be feeling pretty good about there. That's my goal.
Okay, see,
that's my goal right there. And by the time I'm 50, that seems too long, far away. But I should have that be do have
okay.
down by that
all
point.
All right. First of all, you use should, and we talked about that.
So
the
should
last
the bad
time.
Word? Should the bad
Should's
word?
Should's a bad word.
What do you suggest?
Why do you want to should? Shoulding is like it's a
shoulding
it's,
is bad.
You, that's a pressure word. That is one of those things I keep talking about. Your narrative.
Yes.
You have a narrative around should and guilt, and both those things are like. They're like,
what do
they're
you suggest
like
other than
twins.
Should so I can get out of that mentality?
Choose to, get to.
I choose to, I get to. Okay,
yeah, doesn't
got
that
it.
Change your energy?
Yeah, it does.
And see?
Because there's no pressure. And
that's
it's like
right.
should. It's like, oh, it's you, like, it's heavy on me. Yeah, that's
if
right.
If you do nothing else but change your language, your
yes,
life will change.
I like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I try to incorporate the four agreements
yes.
in my life. Which is like,
yes.
be impeccable with your word. Don't take things personally. Don't assume anything and always do my best.
That's right.
Boom.
Don't make assumptions. Right.
Don't make assumptions. Yep. Don't be afraid yep. to ask questions. That's why. That's,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I knew it. So, okay. Got it. So anyway, I
and
try
always
to.
Always be impeccable with your word.
So right. Right. So that's key. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The case in point. So what you were trying to say. So yes. And I think once you do choose certain language that where you can get out of those bad habits, I think that will change your mentality.
And I think that yeah. being impeccable with your word, people often think about it as being outside of word to ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a commitment to self. How are we driving what we're doing and who we're being, right? So being impeccable with your word is doing what you say and saying what you do, but it's also what is that story I'm telling myself? You know, how am I walking forth with what?
Mm-hmm.
authority with, you know, if I'm the author of my life,
right.
what am I authoring, right? What authority am I bringing?
Right.
And if it's the authority of guilt, then you're doing great, you know, meaning look, you know, right. meaning you're aligned, right?
If I guess
you
think I lived about- with it, not to cut you off, but I think I accepted living with it because I knew it drove me.
Right. But
and
think
I knew
about-
it and I knew it and I knew it kept me motivated.
Okay.
You know, fear is a great motivator, right? So, but it's not a happy place to live.
It's not a happy place to live. And it's something else that I said to you. It's like, if you were to think about how many hours you spend or minutes or whatever feeling guilty, and you were to take that energy and transform it into something joyful, what else is possible for you?
Mm.
What could you create from that place of joy or peace? And the thing you said earlier about like in 5 years, you'll be a certain age and you and so when you are that certain age, then you will be peaceful.
Correct.
And I was like, no, we got to switch that up. Right.
Yeah.
It is be that peace now. Infuse that into, you know, come up with this vision, feel into the peace
right.
and start to create from peace, start to show up to work from a place of peace, be with your family from a place of peace, trust from a place of peace. And then that's going to be the transformer that sets everything else into motion.
So my homework slash takeaway.
Yeah.
I'm going to get these apps that you said. I'm going to really make a conscious effort in addition to my praying, which I do at night.
Great.
I'm going to try to incorporate the meditation, both in addition with a prayer and in the morning.
Yeah.
I like the 1 minute, 2 minute deal to start off with.
Absolutely. Which is enough. It is. I mean, I think that, like, take the pressure off, right? That's the other thing about pressure. We think that we have to do this extraordinary mountaintop, you know, month-long meditation, and so we're never going to do it, so we don't do it at all. And that's, as you would probably agree, in terms of getting started in a workout, you don't start by being you. You start by being me, which is, I'm going to walk for a mile, and that's it, right?
Right. Okay, that, choosing better words, being more impeccable with my word, with changing the language, I got to be conscious of that, and I'm going to write stuff down.
Write out your vision for this year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever makes sense.
What's too much? A year?
I have a good little quick story, if I may. Can I share this quick story?
You may.
So I now am able to use this as an example. I wrote out my 10-year vision 5 years ago, okay, in 2013. And I wrote the way I write it, It's bad writing because I encourage people to use a lot of adverbs, which is the, like, number one thing you don't want to do as an actual writer. Mm-hmm. But in terms of visioning, it's excellent. So the intent is to write from this place of, you know, I am excitedly waking up with joy and ease every, you know, on the morning where I turn to my beloved and, you know, I'm, you know, whatever. So I wrote this whole day that included my Central Park West, Upper West Side, you know, wraparound terrace and my awesome, the man in my life who was extraordinary and, you know, all the, and like we deeply connected on all these levels and on and on and on and on, right? I mean, one of the things I talked about was that I am, you know, I talked about myself as having a show called Coach Steph and, you know, I always wanted to be a talk show host and all these things. So, and books and all the, whatever, but here's the best part. So in the vision, my doorbell rings and it's John McEnroe. And John McEnroe, in my vision, is my friend, but he's also somebody that brings us our U.S. Open tickets. And I'm a massive tennis fan, mm-hmm, right? I say, I don't know what I'm more excited about, the fact that John McEnroe is our friend or that he gives us these amazing seats to every single match at the U.S. Open. So that always made me laugh and I loved it. So I meet this guy a year ago on the street, this British guy.
Literally on the street.
And we end up having lunch and then I don't hear from him for a long time. And then, this past May, he calls me and he, you know, says, do you remember me? I'm like, I think so. So we end up going out that night and I forgot that he was a tennis person and he loved tennis. And, I start to talk to him about tennis and the U.S. Open. And he said, oh, it's so interesting. I was just with my friend, John McEnroe, who gives me my tickets for, and this is now my life person that I'm with.
Wow. Yeah. You manifested it.
I manifested. So Dang. It's no joke, right? Jot it down.
Yes. Wow. Sort of applying that whole methods of the secret from
it
a
is.
Little bit, right?
Yes. And the secret, you know, I think there's a fine line between magical thinking and the secret. And I think the secret, the good thing about the secret is that it's the law of attraction. And just from a very simple, basic thing, it's like attracts like. It's like what you think about expands.
Right.
What you resist persists. I mean, we could sit here all day and rhyme, you know, but it's, but those are still valuable.
Yeah.
Statements.
Magical thinking though. I like that. There is a difference.
There is a difference because also I think, you know, the other thing,
you got to do the work a little.
You have to do the work. And what I landed on, you know, but the way I end my vision is I say this or something even better for the highest good of all concerned, which is holding with that loose fist, which is to say, this is what I would love at this point in my life.
Right.
This is what makes sense to me. I realize there's so much I don't know that I don't know that I don't even know I don't know.
Right.
So it's in God's hands, if you will.
Yeah.
And I'm going to surrender this over. But here's a little, I'm going to place my order for what I think I'd like.
Yeah.
And if something better shows up, God bless.
You know, 10 years ago, since you went back, we're talking about a 10-year plan. I know you just went back 5 years. I think about what I wanted at that time. And had that come to fruition, where I'm at now is so much better. And I'm like, wow, I think back and I go, oh gosh, I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, I'm so glad that didn't happen. And so I'm cool with my goals evolving and being open to it and rolling with the punches.
Yeah.
If you will.
But there's also something okay about writing down what you want this year to be.
No, exactly. But so, and I think it's kind of cool, maybe even looking back and you see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got my little homework. I've got my apps. I've got working on my language, which I might need to jot down some words that I shouldn't use. Can I say shouldn't? Can I say shouldn't? Because it's not a should.
let's try to get rid of that word altogether.
Just the whole word. It's a bad, yeah, it's like an F-bomb. All right.
It is a guilt inducer.
It's a guilt inducer. I'm writing that down.
I just made that up.
I'm writing that down. I like that.
Because it perpetuates the narrative that you don't want to create. And you are a powerful creator.
Right.
And we all are. And we're constantly creating people. It's like people who live in their victim story are the people who continue to operate from a wounded place in their life. And then suddenly it's like all these bad things keep happening.
Right. Like
there's right. But we get
relationships,
to shift that.
People share.
Absolutely. So this is, we're going to have to do a check-in.
Yeah. Do a check-in. Cause I feel much better just after this conversation.
Yeah. So we're going to, so you're going to create some sort of morning meditation for 1 to 5 minutes to start.
Or I will visualize and
you can visualize, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know, I would write out that vision that you have, but not from a goals oriented place. Right. But from a vision, like if you're writing it in the first person as if it's happening right this second, that tends to ignite the energetic, the energy that you want to bring.
Right.
That, you know, that and it brings the energy in motion. It's fun to read. It should make you laugh a little bit. It can be, I said should, you didn't call me out.
I know, but I was with you.
It gets to tickle you and to bring the, you get to choose to be in the joy of this making you laugh. And another way to think about that vision is to think about it as like, wouldn't it be nice if? Wouldn't it be nice if I felt peace every day? Wouldn't it be nice if I felt like I had all the time in the world and I could I could be present in every moment? Wouldn't it be nice if that also unlocks a little freedom and takes away the pressure because it's just kind of a wouldn't it be nice if? So that's a good other little exercise.
I have a vacation coming up in like a week or two.
Good.
I think during that time is when I can really dive in.
Yeah.
Right? Recharge and apply my new little outlook.
Yep.
/strategy.
Yeah.
Right.
I would even offer you coming up with some sort of little mantra, which is just like, I mean, whatever it means in terms of how you want to relate to time.
Yeah.
You know, or peace, or, you know, is it the time that stresses you out? Is it not having that stresses you out? It's like the mantra could just be as simple as I have enough and I am enough and I have, you know, or I am peace.
Everything's
going
to be okay.
It's all good.
Chill the hell out, Lopez.
It's all good.com.
It's all good. It's all good.com. Okay. We're going to check back in.
Yeah.
We're going to check back
in. I love it. Let's do it.
I feel good. Okay. I've got my little homework.
All right.